Ghosts ought to have been my specialty. There are enough dearly departed in my family to haunt a dozen Gothic novels, and if I never stopped to listen for a telling knock or squinted through the darkness for a hazy outline, it was only because doubt flowed through my veins more palpably than the blood of any continent. My sister and I were skeptics, angry and cynical as only skeptics who have waded, who have swum, who have been given water births into belief truly can be. But that was later. At the beginning there was me and there was Sadhna. There was Papa and Mama, and there were the things that Mama told us. Mama was a very theoretical woman. I mean, she was a real woman who was interested in theories of all kinds. When she showed us the stars, she held my sister Sadhna on her lap and pointed up at the thin strip of night sky. What we could see from our balcony was bounded by the roofs of other buildings, crowding up in one direction toward the slope of the mountain, the other sides shunting back our perspective with an excess of light, street lamps brightening the darkness to a gray glow in every distance. "The stars that we see are in the past," said Mama. "It takes thousands of years for their shining to reach the earth." With her pale face as a guide, a moon in my field of vision, I struggled to make out the points of light, stretching myself out flat on the wine-colored rug. Mama's voice above the street sounds was solemn and full of wonder. "There is a theory," Mama said, "but the universe is getting bigger. It will keep expanding, like a huge loaf of bread rising, like a great fat belly, until there's nothing left to make it out of, no more heat. It will be like a day that is so long that it goes on forever, until time is a substance and it is made out of ice." Sadhna was only 4, 2 years younger than me, and she was falling asleep on Mama's skirt, her fat brown chin drooping onto Mama's freckled arm. Sometimes Mama would get started on something and she'd tell us all about it, even when there was no way we'd understand. I sat up to pay attention, to draw myself toward them. Mama pointed out a constellation that I couldn't see, the Big Dipper just a name for a stretch of sky between one wave of her hand and another. "There's also a theory," said Mama, "that the universe is getting smaller. Millions of years from now it's going to start shrinking and heating, like fat and flesh melting into bone, because it is the destiny of things to come together. All that there is will get closer and closer until there's no space anymore between anything, even between the things themselves." "Like soup?" "Like cosmic soup," said Mama, "that boils away into nothing." She pointed to a faint spot that was hard to make out. "My lucky star," she said. I leaned my head on her knee and felt her fingers threading through my black hair as she murmured more about the legacy of dying stars, their nighttime brilliance. "It seems to me now that all my memories are like this, points of light in a dark field, now clear and now slipping away. And no matter how much I look, I still can't spot for certain where I should be joining them up in patterns, constellations of what a life could mean. In theory, when a person dies, they're gone forever. At least that's what I think now. Before she died, Mama always talked about reincarnation, but it got to be too troubling for me and Sadhna, eyeing up every cat and dog that looked as if it might be coaxed into following us home. The babies with blue eyes grasping air and their fists from their strollers. The hummingbird we spotted on the balcony, skimming forward and back before the feeder, its wings beating as many times per second as our hearts might in a minute. When I watched it looking for signs of my mother, my pulse felt faster, as though the bird itself was skittering around inside and had taken up the place where my heart should be, where Mama told us she would keep on living forever and ever. My sister and I were born exactly 2 years apart at the same hospital. Named for a queen no longer revered, the hospital stood on the side of the mountain that was the volcanic heart of our island city. It had been more than 200 years since the English took the city from the French as the spoils of war, but the battle was still being waged whenever people forgot that most of the time we all got along just fine. In our little neighborhood north of the mountain, it was just as likely to hear Greek or Yiddish or Italian as it was to hear French or English. At our family store, famous for making wood-fired bagels in an oven that devoured trees like the furnace of hell itself, nearly every day was brightened by the chime of tourists with the hard shine of American accents. It would have been to our mother's perpetual regret, if she had believed in such a fruitless notion, that we were born at the hospital and not at home in our little apartment above the shop. Mama told us that Papa had insisted. He said if anything went wrong, almost all he knew about was making bagels, which could hardly be of very much help. Same thing with pie crust.